Good morning, everyone. It's truly a blessing to be back with brothers and sisters here at West Main once again. Really appreciate everyone allowing me to stand up here and go through God's Word together. If you would turn to 2 Samuel chapter 12. 2 Samuel chapter 12. I will be reading verses 1 through 7. And it reads, "Then the Lord sent Nathan to David, and he came to him and said to him, 'There were two men in one city, one rich and the other poor. The rich man had exceedingly many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing except one little emu, which he had bought and nourished. And it grew up together with him and with his children. It ate of his own food and drank from his own cup and laid in his bosom. And it was like a daughter to him. And a traveler came to the rich man who refused to take from his own flock and from his own herd, and prepare one for the wayfaring man who had come to him. But he took the poor man's lamb and prepared it for the man who had come to him.' So David's anger was greatly aroused against the man, and he said to Nathan, 'As the Lord lives, the man who has done this shall surely die, and he shall restore fourfold for the lamb because he did this thing and because he had no pity.' Then Nathan said to David, 'You are the man. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I anointed you king over Israel and delivered you from the hand of Saul.'" Nathan told David, "You are the man." This is really a food for thought for everyone to just think over this passage over the week. Read over it again throughout the week. In study this morning, we've been talking about some of the things that we as Christians overlook. And this is one thing that David overlooked in his life, that he had committed a sin. And for the least little thing that this man has done, he was saying that he should surely die. The Word of God is our Nathan. Every time we look through this Word of God, we should look at ourselves. Every time we read the Word of God, we should look at self. And this is something I've been thinking about for months. If everyone individually took the Word of God and applied it to his life, what would the world look like? What would the world look like? Now it's time to get to the message. To defeat the enemy, one must know the enemy. To defeat the enemy, one must know the enemy. We know that we have an enemy, Satan. If you would turn to Colossians chapter 2, verse 15. The Word tells us, Colossians chapter 2, 15. having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. Satan has been defeated. We don't have to turn up, but Hebrews 2:14 also shows that Satan has been defeated. And Revelations 12 and 11 shows that Satan has been defeated. Another enemy that we must face. In John 16, verse 33, John chapter 16, 33 is the world. And it reads, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." Jesus has overcome the world. The world has been defeated. One more enemy that I want to speak about today, and this is the main enemy, the most dangerous one that we have to worry about. And that enemy is me. That enemy is ourselves. Each individual, we are enemies to ourselves. I have an article here that I want to read through. It has scripture in it, so I'll be calling out the scriptures. You're more than welcome to write them down. Let me see if I can get through this. And it reads, "There is an enemy of mine living closer to me than any other. He comes with me wherever I go. He lives with me. No matter how fast I run, he is there. He remains with me because he is flesh. The desires I have as a human being, as in, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." Matthew 26 and 41. A British newspaper, The Times asked the greatest mind of Britain two questions. What is wrong with the world? Among those curled was Christian writer G.K. Curtison. His answer came with these words: "Flesh makes life a dilemma for me. I am my flesh. My other two enemies, the world and the devil, exist apart from me. But the flesh is a companion, never shaken." Paul writes, "Words which given hope and yet perplex me. For while we were living in the flesh, our sinful passion aroused by the law were at work in our members to bear fruit for death." Romans 7 and 5. The hope is, given as Paul says, we were living in the flesh. Paul uses past tense. There is some sense which flesh, which surrounds my soul, can be escaped. I'm sure Paul doesn't mean I'm becoming dismembered from flesh, rather the corrupt nature of flesh and its authority over me may be eluded. Because human choices, flesh, which was meant to cooperate with God, is now an enemy. Flesh takes on a corrupt nature. We have an amazing amount of power as beings of flesh. God desired us as flesh with free choice. The choice was to make our significant. As seen in this case of Adam and Eve, they can change the whole course of creation. But the decision in the Garden of Eden also changed humanity. Because human choice, flesh which was meant to cooperate with God is now an enemy. Flesh takes on a corrupt nature. We see that in Genesis 3, 9 through 17. Flesh is corrupt, sinful. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh. For I know, for I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. Romans 7:18, Paul writes that. Flesh controls me, keep me from doing what is right. However, in me, something has changed in relationship to this enemy. To know what has changed, I must first understand what was true when flesh controlling my passions, desires, and thoughts. Flesh wants to rule over my passions. Since therefore Christ suffered in the flesh, arm yourselves with the same way of thinking. For whosoever suffer in the flesh has ceased from sin. So as to live for the rest of the time in the flesh, no longer for human passion, but for the will of God. 1 Peter 4, 1 and 2. Paul writes, so as to live for the rest of time in the flesh, no longer for human passion, flesh controls my passion, and my passion controls me. You find this in Cain early in scripture history. Genesis 4, 6 through 7. The Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? Why has your face fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door, and its desire, but is to rule over you. Flesh grabbed Cain's anger, moved him to hate his brother, and gobbled by flesh, Cain murdered Abel. Flesh manipulates his emotions, life, emotional life, to lead me away from living my life for God. This manipulation by flesh temptation. Temptation is the subtle tugging of my being to choose sin over the priorities of God. My thoughts are open to flesh, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on things of the Spirit. Romans 8 through 8 and 5. When the flesh is in control, my thoughts are less than pure or righteous. Flesh takes anything I'm thinking and turns my ideas against the kingdom of God. I look at a homeless person and think of their laziness, their lack of value in the world, and configure a path which brings me away from them. I forget people are made in God's image. I discard a view of my own sin and see myself as superior. I choose to ignore Jesus' words, and the king would answer them, truly I say to you, as you did to one of these, the least of these, brothers, you have done to me. Matthew 20. 5 and 40. I read all this and bring all this to the brothers and sisters here at West Main attention to say that we have to work on self daily. We have to look at self daily. Because one thing that we cannot say that we died on the cross. We cannot say we suffered the beat, the pain, the crown of thorn on our head, the piercing of our side, the hanging on the cross, dying and being resurrected. We did none of that. Jesus Christ did. Who are we to think we get any kind of glory? Who are we to think that we get any kind of satisfaction? We get nothing, because outside of Jesus Christ, we are nothing. It is Jesus Christ who died. It is our Heavenly Father who come up with the perfect plan to redeem us back to Himself. Who are we but a vapor vanishing away? But by the grace of God, Jesus Christ died on Calvary Cross. He was buried and He resurrected. Now He sits at the right hand throne of God. The only thing that we are able to say is, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner, who are really thankful for what You've done for us, sinners. And the reason I read that Second Samuel to say that we always have to look and know, the Bible tells us all have sinned, past, and do come short of the glory of God, present. We always going to come short of glory of God. And we always got to look at other people and know that we are in no better shoes than they are. The only difference between them and us is we have accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And the only thing that makes us different from them is nothing. Jesus Christ died for them also. He died for us. And as soon as they take that time to repent and accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, they have a home in heaven also. Because guess what? And as soon as we decide to not follow God's word, we have sinned. And we void our home in heaven. If you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today, or in the past, today is the day to do so. We said in the Bible study this morning that tomorrow is not promising to us. The next minute is not promising to us. The next second is not promising. Christ died for us, and you don't have to die a spiritual death. You can live the all eternity with Him by God's side. If you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, today is the day. Tomorrow is not promised. Please come as we stand and we sing.